informal. Would like for everybody to enjoy themselves. If you don't mind holding questions till we get to the question and answer, we feel like it'll help move things along. And when the idea of to do this event came up, three or four of us went to work on it, had a lot of help from Mike Wales at Paychex, and we realized that to get the attention of you golfers in the room, we probably needed someone other than just us individuals that were the local workforce. So I called Lee Trevino, and he jumped on the bandwagon to help. In my first conversation with him, immediately he went into talking about how hard courses had gotten, what the architects were doing, how much that was costing. And I said, Lee, you're 110% right. But we'd like to have a get-together with people and talk about what's happening in the desert here. We've got 120 courses that we're concerned about. We're not looking at when the next one to get built. That could be years away. Lee says, I got it. I understand. I'll be there. I'll help you. So with that, I'm going to let Lee Trevino get up here.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you. Thank you very much. When Andy called me and told me what the idea was of what he wanted to do, I said, man, I said, you're talking to the choir here. I said, I've been on this case for 30 years. I've been on all these guys. I play their golf courses. I've won a heck of a lot of tournaments on their courses. But I didn't look at it from a professional standpoint. I looked at it from who pays the money. And who plays, and your memberships, and the ladies that can't carry all these areas, and the bunkers are so deep they can't get out. But then I looked at it another way too. I said, you know, I said the maintenance here must be unbelievable. Instead of having just a regular golf course, and I've always evaluated it, and I've told people, I said, you know what? I said tennis has existed forever. And if you look at the ladies that are playing today as opposed to the ones that played 50 years ago, it's almost in slow motion, isn't it, 50 years ago? I mean, these ladies have gotten taller and stronger, and they hit the ball harder. But they haven't changed the court, have they? They didn't put chairs on the other side because they're too fast. Can you imagine having a tennis tournament over here and saying, hey, you're too good. I'm going to put you. You got to have three chairs on your side. You understand? Or if you played pool, Willie Moscone was a hell of a pool player. But you know what? There's probably better pool players today. You don't see them throwing gravel on the pool table saying, man, you're too good. We're going to throw some gravel out here so you don't make all these shots. But in golf, it went the other way. And I've won 89 tournaments worldwide, and I've won on stadium courses, flat courses, windy courses, links courses. You name it, I've won. I don't, every country that I traveled in, I won a tournament. I've won in South America, South Africa. I've won in Australia, Japan, six majors. But I always looked at it from that viewpoint of where golf is going. And when Andy called me up, and I said, Andy, I said, I'm telling you, I've been preaching this forever and ever and ever. Now you know what's happened with the economy. And we're talking about, when you talk about golf, you're talking about the entertainment dollar. And that's the first thing that people are going to pull back on when this happens. I don't know whether you saw this paper, this front page of the sports page this morning of the local paper, but I'm going to read you a little something about this in just a second. But you look at where these courses and how much it costs to play them, people are going away from it. It's a case in point with a gentleman right here. And if you look at this paper when you get home, you grab it. And you take, his name is Tom Branch. And he says that it's gotten so expensive that it's not worth for him to play anymore. He said I was playing golf two or three times a week. I just can't justify the price. Now, this is not the only guy that's doing this. Now, what's so funny and tickled me is who was on this front page, which they just honored his father here, and Nicholas and Palmer were here. And right there, Nicholas says, golf has to change. Who the hell do you think made all these hard golf courses? Can you believe this guy? You know what that's like? That's like an electrician wiring your house and then 3 years from now saying, hey, that thing's fixing to burn up. God damn, I got to go back there and rewire this thing. And I want your money to redo it. Now, this is what he's saying. High cost, long rounds, difficult courses, pushing people away from golf. He's right. He's the one that created all this. I mean, and my friend Mr. Dye, which is his buddy, same thing. And believe it or not, this guy and his friend built the greatest golf course on the planet. And it's Harbor Town. And it looks nothing like what they built out here or any place else that they've built. But what I'm talking about here is we've got to get the maintenance costs down, or we are going to have to get the homeowners involved. Now, we did this in Dallas. My son manages a Heritage Ranch out in Allen, Texas. We have 1,000 homes on that golf course. When they built that golf course, automatically, when those people moved in, they had to pay with the Homeowners Association. They were members at that club. And that's where that club is going to survive. And I'm afraid this is what we're going to have to do here. We're going to have to go to the homeowners, and we're going to say, hey, listen, you've got a $1 million house on the 7th fairway. If something happens to this golf course, what's going to happen to your property? And your property is going to go from $1 million to $300,000 if you can sell it. Case in point, Bonita Springs, just north of Tampa, 2 years ago, 15 golf courses closed. 15 in one community. Now, that's, can you imagine what that did to the homeowners association around there? I mean, it went just like this. And the reason that I'm here is to support Andy and what they're trying to do here. And we're hoping that we can find some kind of way. I love this game. I play every day, 72 years old, and I go to the golf course. As a matter of fact, I just bought one. That was smart, wasn't it? I mean, in fact, we just bought Diamond. A friend of mine just bought Diamond Oaks in Fort Worth, Texas, in Haltom City. This golf course, which is under a management company, we tried to buy it 3 years ago for $4 million. They wanted $5 million. We waited 3 years, and we got it 6 weeks ago for $1.9 million. And we're doing $1.1 million renovation. We're doing the bunkers. We're in the floodplain. It's a blue-collar golf course. It's a golf course that you can play. The ladies, the kids, the husbands, whatever, whoever wants to play it, 6,500 yards long, you can play it in 3.5 hours, 4 hours easy. And this is what Jack's talking about here. Courses are too difficult. It's taking too long to play. I want to tell you a little story about Durrell. I just had lunch with Trump. The man's crazier than I am. He's ADD, has to be. He was hitting walls in there. But he's a hell of a businessman. He just bought Durrell for $170 million, which is a steal. They were asking $500 million. He bought it for $170. Now, I remember 4 years ago, 5 years ago, they found Jolie's plans, and they brought Raymond Floyd in to put all the sand back in. In other words, into the golf course. Make it original. It looked like the Sahara Desert out there. There's so much sand. After a year's play, they tallied up the money that they made this year compared to last year, and it didn't add up. The money over here was much shorter than the year before, and they couldn't figure out why. And they finally figured it out that they had added 45 minutes to the round because the golf course was too difficult. When you're in the golf business, time is money. And that's what it is. Difficulty of the golf course has everything to do, not only on the maintenance, but the time that the round takes. And the longer it takes to play a round of golf, the less golfers you can get on it. And this is where the difficulty comes from, simply because with everything going up, who are you going to put that money on? How are you going to get that back? You got to put it on your members. You've got to go up on the fees. The members are going to get discouraged. Some are going to quit. Even if they can't get out, if they're equity or whatever, they're going to quit playing. And it's going to get. But I'm only here to support the game. I love this game. Palm Springs, Palm Desert, La Quinta, all this whole valley. I've been coming here since 1967, the first time. The first golf course I ever played here was El Dorado. And it was on the swing of the Bob Hope Classic. And I got here to play a practice round. And I remember a lot of these courses. Played the Dunes, El Dorado. Where else did we play? Indian Wells. I can't remember the fourth one that we played. But your dad hadn't built any of these courses before that. But I'm interested in the longevity. I'm interested in people enjoying the game, playing it. I mean, they've got courses here in the valley that probably are, I mean, the Palms, for one. You take that golf course, it's pretty flat, doesn't have a lot of all this on it, doesn't have all those deep bunkers. Maintenance is probably a heck of a lot lower than some of the other courses that you have here. La Quinta Country Club, I'm sure, is doing quite well. You know, Thunderbird, I'm sure. But some of the courses are not doing well simply because maintenance and time that it takes to play is eating everybody up. And I think that we're going to have to face that, and we're going to have to do something about it. There's two ways of doing it. One is to go to the Homeowners Association and seeing if we can't get a little bit of help towards maintenance, or go to the Homeowners Association and get him one lump sum and easing up the course, redoing the golf course, taking some bunkers out, making them smaller, shallower, maybe taking some water out, bringing your maintenance down and doing it. I mean, nobody's going to go away. I mean, they love coming here, but there's a lot of competition out there. And if the weather is y'all blame it on the Mexicans. I know it's either El Nino or El Niña that did this, right? The weather. I mean, it's 80 degrees in Chicago and stuff right now. And I mean, it's just absolutely fabulous. But anyway, I hope that these guys can help you. I came here for the love of the game. And I came here for Andy. And I'll tell you that. I had breakfast with Andy, and he says, "What's this going to cost me?" I said, "You've already paid me." I said, "Your dad gave me an honorary membership to about 9 golf courses, and I've hit enough practice balls, and that's one of the reasons I had the career that I had, is because I honed it right out of the ground, right here. This is where I practice most of the time. Matter of fact, when I went on the senior tour, I moved into a condo here for 5 months, and I hit golf balls at the dunes in the back of the range over there by number 9. And I picked up my own balls, and they gave me a key to the gate. And I remember a gentleman driving up, and he says, "How do you get in there?" I said, "Hell, I don't know." I wouldn't let him in. But anyway, we're going to have a question and answer, and when I'd like to meet you all before you leave. But listen, whatever you do, keep this game alive, please. It breaks my heart every time they close a course or they plow it up. You know, we've lost millions of golfers. I've told the PGA, I said, we've got to get behind. I told them years ago, but things were good, you see. Things were good. And when things are good, people forget about tomorrow, you know. So we need to get this thing back on the right track. And I don't know how we're going to do it. And the reason that we wanted you all here is because we wanted to get the ideas, not only from the panel, but we want to get some ideas from you. Maybe you have to work together. I asked my son, I said, "What do you think?" He said, "Well..." He said, "You know, sometimes," he said, "you got to do it like the farmers." He said, "If they've got a combine that's doing the wheat and they get 7 combines together and they do one guy's farm," he said, "here," he says, "these courses might have to get together and share a spiking machine or something, you know, where you can get it over with real quick and do what?" But whatever you have to do, you're all here in the room, and this is where you can do something about it. I appreciate it very much. Thank you for your time.
Lee, thanks.